words that I now speak and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, for you are indeed our rock and our redeemer. So what does the world need as we gather here this morning? The Rohingya people of Myanmar caught up in the genocide and in their migration to refugee camps in Bangladesh. Or the people of Kerala, province in the southwest of India, whose homes and livelihoods have been destroyed by floods. Or the people of California and Portugal, whose homes have been destroyed by forest fires. People of Yemen, and particularly we think of Syria and the province of Idlib, caught up in civil war. And people within our own families, amongst our friends, who are suffering with disabilities and diseases. How we need God to save us, to restore, to heal, and to rebuild. We need hope. For the present, as well as for the future. And our readings today point us towards God's promises and God's purposes in the face of all that we find in the world around us. The psalm sets the theme for our three readings. God is our hope and our help. The Creator who reigns forever upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. He sets prisoners free. He gives sight to the blind. He lifts up those who are bowed down. He watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. And then there's the passage from Isaiah, which is one of a number of passages which are described as messianic because they look to the coming of God's Messiah. And here the prophet tells the people what to expect when the Messiah comes. They are to be strong, they are not to be afraid, for God will come and save them. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. And the lame shall leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shall shout for joy. Creator will bring revival and refreshment, and water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And so then we come to the gospel and the arrival of the Messiah. As Mark begins his gospel, the kingdom of God is at hand. The deaf mute is healed. The foreigner's faith is received with compassion and healing for her daughter. The people are overwhelmed with amazement and said, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." So the psalmist's prayers and Isaiah's prophecy are revealed in Jesus, who is God's Messiah, bringing God's salvation. I mean, we long for good news, don't we? I mean, the media provides a seemingly endless diet of bad news. You know, sometimes it's a good thing to turn the news off. It's full of wars and natural disasters, human-made problems, murders and violence on our streets, starvation and crop failures around the world. And it seems as if the only events that are worth a mention are bad news. It was ever so. In 1976, and I'm sure looking around you all remember Robert Dougal, the BBC television newsreader. You can see his long face. He looked a bit like a dachshund, I thought. But when he finished in 1976, he brought out a book which was called And Now for the Good News, in response to all the years of reading bad news. And his book is a collection of stories of courage and joy. And the people of Jesus' day were no different. They were fed up with bad news. There was news of earthquakes and building collapses, of robbery and violence, and many different diseases for which there was no medical help at all. Added to this, the country was occupied by the Romans, whose power was absolute, and who put down any resistance with brutal acts, such as the mass crucifixions of over 2,000 people that took place in Nazareth when Jesus was growing up. Bad news has always been surrounding us. And in the temple and in the synagogues, they recited psalms of hope, such as Psalm 146, hearing the promise of their Creator God to move in power and bring them aid. And they heard the purposes of God through the prophets to bring healing and to take away their fear. And now in the midst, the promises and purposes are coming true right there in front of them in the actions of Jesus, with his compassion for the outsider and his healing for the insider. An end to fear, a beginning of hope. Jesus' actions were signs that he indeed is the promised Messiah, and his actions demonstrate the purposes and promises of God to bring healing and acceptance to all, insiders and outsiders. But ultimate healing would come as Jesus completed his ministry, as he completed his journey to Jerusalem and the cross, where he would bring eternal healing and new life for all who trusted him, a life in relationship with the God of promise, the God of hope, the God of peace and love. But what about today? We were thrilled by the rescue of the Thai football team from the flooded cave system, an answer to the prayers of many, and the dedication and courage of their rescuers. The safe release of the 12 football players and their coach was hailed as a miracle by the families and the nation. Then there was that driver in that van rescued from the bridge collapse in Genoa, getting out of his crushed van with only scratches, who said it was a miracle that I survived when so many died. Or perhaps the more world-changing miracle of the end of apartheid in South Africa, enabled through the forgiving leadership of Nelson Mandela. This was certainly hailed as an answer to prayer, both in South Africa and throughout the world. But do we have stories of hope to tell? Have we experienced miracles of healing in our own lives? Has our trust and our faith in Christ taken away our fear? Can we speak of answered prayer? Now, these stories that we can tell to each other will be have far greater significance for us and for us as a congregation. When we share these with each other, we strengthen our faith in God and we begin to trust in his promises and his purposes for our lives. Only once or twice in my ministry have I actually experienced a miracle. Jean lived in Sharnbrook. She and her husband and her daughter attended Highfield Baptist Church in Rushden in the 1980s when I was the minister. One evening I received a telephone call from Jean asking me to visit her. She had just been to the hospital. It had been a very worrying visit. She'd been diagnosed with cancer of the pleural membrane in the same location where she had had a mastectomy some years earlier. She explained that in her fear, she'd been praying and God had directed her to James 5 with the promise of healing when the elders in faith laid their hands on the sick. Her request was that the elders of Highfield Baptist Church might do this for her. My immediate response was one of trepidation, as you might imagine. But I said that I would gather together with my two fellow elders and pray about her request. An amazing thing happened when we prayed, and I would describe this as the first miracle, because the three of us, who were quite rational, feet on the ground people, we believed actually that God really was going to heal Jean. And so we went around to her house, arranging a visit. We anointed her with oil and we prayed for her healing. We experienced peace. But then we understood the miracle, confirmed when she went back to the hospital 2 days later, and the consultant said the cancer has completely disappeared. We were filled with thanksgiving for God's work in Jean's life. There was a miracle of grace. However, we were reminded at that same time that healing miracles take all sorts of forms. Because at the same time as Jean was healed, Bert, who I've told you about before, had also had cancer. And he wasn't healed of his cancer, but his lapsed faith was healed. He returned to a real faith and trust in God, and he had a real confident peace as he came to the end of his life. And then at the same time as all this was going on, I was making a weekly visit to my mother, who was dying of cancer. And she too had this amazingly serene peace while witnessing to the nurses from Macmillan who were caring for her. And today, miracles take place in our hospitals on a daily basis, and many of us here today can testify to that. Our trust is in God's promises and God's purposes, and our faith in Christ has been confirmed in the peace and the joy of his loving presence, especially in times of difficulty, in times of trouble. And it's this good news that we can share with the world in need, the world which is encompassed by all the bad news we hear in the media. Because it is in Christ that the world will find its true purpose, and individual people will find life in all its fullness, the life that God has purposed for each human being to experience. What we have experienced, we share with our friends and our neighbours and our family. Thanks be to God for the gift of faith.